Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show, and we're back again, of course, for the next hour. And really pleased to say that we've got the boys from Merthyr with us tonight, and really pleased to have you guys on. And of course, we've got manager Paul. Welcome, Paul.
Dave, thanks for having us.
And of course, we've got super coach Mr. Craig. And nice to have you back again, mate.
Yeah, good to be back. Thanks.
And club captain Matty's with us as well. Nice to meet you, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate. You too.
And of course, we're going to have Jack's going to come and join us a little bit later on as well when he's finished his finished work. But I suppose it's been a lot sort of happening for Murphy in the last week, hasn't
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy couple of
it?
weeks. You could say that, mate.
So do you want to let us know what has actually happened, Paul? I mean, in the last week or so?
Well, we've had some big games. We've drew a couple at home with Dorchester and with Totten. We had a huge crowd for both those games, really. And then we've been away to Havant and Waterlooville. And although we weren't at our best, we managed to come away with 3 points and win the game, despite them having been unbeaten at home so far this season. So we've had a good week on the pitch. Two draws and a win's a really positive return from three really difficult fixtures. And then off the pitch, there's a few things that blew up in the media. The first, the Prosiect Cymru, which was the cup competition, which has dropped, that said Newport, Swansea, Cardiff, and Wrexham could be in a League Cup in Wales, but that Merthyr wouldn't be. I'm pretty certain the only reason that dropped this week is because we had our vote about. And I think people wanted to make it very clear to the club that we wouldn't be involved in that unless we moved into the Cymru Premier. I think, otherwise, why else, when it hasn't been ratified by the FA? I just don't understand why that all came out, at that time. And then we've had, it dropped in the media that the FAW had offered us £6 million to go into the Cymru Premier. It's not quite like that. It's not how it's been made out in the media. Although the FAW are keen to have us involved, and rightly so, but I don't think that the current owners of Merthyr are really interested in it at all. So it's not going to make any difference really moving forward.
I was going to ask that question because would you guys do you think the club will be interested? Do you think the fans? I've seen the fans have all sort of almost said no, almost to everybody that I've seen on social media. But I mean, do you think it's a tough decision for the owners and for yourself? I mean, going in there and also as well, easier chance of maybe getting into sort of big European competitions, or do you want to sort of stick it out, here because you feel like you've got a great squad, great club at the minute, and you can push through the English system this way.
I'll just come in really quickly, like just from the owners. I think what we've got to remember is that the owners of Merthyr are the supporters. It's the supporters that own the football club, and they a lot of those supporters and owners support the club because it's in the pyramid that it's in, because we play 3 p.m. on a Saturday, for lots of other reasons, and they want to stay where they are, and that's there's that's. They're right, and I think it's the right thing to do for the football club, but there's just no appetite amongst the owners. A very small percentage, I think, that would be voting to move across into the Cymru Premier.
It's quite interesting because, and we'll bring him up a little bit later on, but as you can see the man over my left shoulder or right shoulder, whichever way you're looking at it on the screen. In one of the last interviews I did with him, he actually said that this day would come when this would sort of be a decision to be made by the club. He had this feeling that possibly there could be an offer coming into or from the FA of Wales to try and get you over, and it's been proven right in the end.
Craig, do you want to come in? I don't know.
Yeah, I know years ago Anthony was dead against even considering it. I think all the time I think he was of the opinion that it was a conversation we had around it. Whereas previously there was no conversation, there was absolutely no interest in it. I think it changed a little bit due to some of the things that went on with Merthyr over the years with financially and some of those issues on there. But I think the timing of it from everything couldn't be worse. When we're doing so well, when we're having massive crowds, when everything's going so well, there's just no desire from supporters and most of the owners either to have even a conversation over it, to be totally honest. And Jack can tell you more, and I know everybody is looking at the fact there's this £6 million offer. It's not £6 million that you go, there's £6 million, go and spend it. That's not the case. So it's been put out there from possibly by the FAW that there's £6 million from over there. That's not the fact. That really isn't the case.
Evening, Jack.
No.
So, what's your thoughts on that situation with the FA Wales?
It's been around for a few years, really, but this is like the first time that the FAW have actually made an offer, I suppose. But I think from social media and the general consensus of supporters of the club, I think they've pretty much all against it. There may be a small number who might be a bit more interested in it, and there might be one or two who are for it. But I think the 95% of the supporters are happy where we are in the English system at the moment. And like Craig touched upon, it's this supposed £6 million offer, but there's a lot of ifs, buts, and maybes to go along with it as well. So it's not quite the £6 million in a suitcase to spend on your first team, really, as what some people may think. But so
And anyway, on that, £6 million wouldn't buy Ricardo Rees, Kieran Evans, Jack Evans, any of those players anyway. So it's not, £6 million isn't that much in the reality of it all.
I'd agree. I'll be honest. I would agree. I mean, Matty, I mean, from your point of view as a player, I mean, would you have liked to have gone and tried your hand against the likes of TNS and everybody, or do you feel as well as the players that this is the, stay where you are because touch wood, it will be step two next year and it'll be in the Vanarama South.
To be honest, I've experienced both leagues anyway. Obviously, an awful lot longer at Merthyr, and then I've had 3 full seasons in the Welsh Premier. I've recently come from this 3 years ago. I mean, I'm Merthyr through and through, and I can't ever see Merthyr in the Welsh leagues. I just, for some reason, I don't know, it's just not the fit, it's not right. As Paul touched on earlier, the fans watch Merthyr because of where we play in the league that we're in. And I think, look, is the Welsh Premier a good league? Yes, there's some good players, there's some good teams. Does it need a complete revamp and reset 100%? Because the current sort of way they do things has gone a bit stale. Hence why I think they're trying to be proactive in changing it. Hence coming forward to asking ourselves to join. That would be a massive scalp for the league. And but I think Merthyr, the fans and the owners will make the decision. And without saying offence, I would be with that 95% of no, we stay where we are. I mean, speaking from a player's point of view, and I know loads of lads that play in Europe every season with their Welsh teams, and no disrespect to the level of the Welsh Premier, is it's way off most European teams, even the minnows. So I would still go every single week and hope for a dream FA Cup tie and climbing up the pyramid. And even little things like the attendances, we get to go away to teams that the Welsh fans call so-called little villages down south. And well, those so-called villages get 1,200 watching every week. You go to the Welsh Premier, the most you put in front of is 400, on a Saturday. So I'd much rather play in an FA Cup run and have that dream tie, if you like. We were what, 90 minutes away from Portman Road and Ipswich 2 years back, rather than knowing, unfortunately, you're going to the Faroe Islands in June, give up your summer to get pumped 8-0 on aggregate. I get that it's got a bit more competitive, but I'm just speaking quite openly as a player, and I'd much rather see Merthyr in the conference than have that ceiling, unfortunately, of the Welsh Prem and maybe have a dream tie. But I think gone are the days, the way they've restructured Europe also with, back in the 90s and early 2000s, where Barry would play your Portos and Carmarthen, I think had Copenhagen. The way it's so watered down now in the qualifying campaign, you've almost got to win 3, 4 games to get that sort of glorified tie. The only perks to it, obviously, is the financial picked the football clubs gain from it, but in terms of everything, they are a bit soulless, the league is at the minute, with the lack of attendances, and I'd much rather go and play away at King's Lynn in front of 2,500 or Salisbury than I would at, no disrespect, the good clubs, but 140 at Cardiff Met, or worst case, the champions year in, year out, and they average 230 people watching. So it's a bit, they just need something to happen, and I think that's what's caused this, them coming to us. But I think the club, not that I know the results yet, but I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a big no, and I'm on board with that.
No, 100%. I mean, before, guys, I mean, if I can sort of, well, I've already brought the mood down already, and I've asking you that question, but it's just, but in all fairness, I mean, this time, if I can, just get just for the next 10 minutes or so, just get your thoughts on one sort of thing. This time, last year, we were doing a show, and for the life of me, I can't remember it was. I did look earlier on today to see who it was, but. We're on doing the show this time last year, and about 10 minutes after the show had finished, I got a WhatsApp message that I can honestly say, even to this day, even thinking about it now, shook me to the core when I got the WhatsApp message, of course from Victoria on that day, and even now. I get choked up just by talking about him even now, even though he's over my right shoulder. I mean, it was a devastating time, and I know it was a devastating time for quite a lot of people at Merthyr, if not everybody at Merthyr as well, and friends and family, everything else. But it came as a massive shock to me, and I know I spoke to Craig and as well, and on the day, and I think a couple of days later. But I mean, it'd be interesting just to get your sort of. Maybe a funny story or thoughts or whatever it might be on what I call probably one of the greatest men in non-league football in Mr. Anthony Hughes. I mean, I would really be interested as it's now a year since his passing, or will be on Wednesday. I'd just be interested in your thoughts of him around your club, and a little bit about him, even if you've got sort of funny stories. And I know, Craig, if I can come to you first, because you lived literally across the road from him.
Yeah, lived across the road from Anthony for years and years. So yeah, I would see him most days, to be honest. And it, I mean, his love for Merthyr was unbelievable. I know he spoke with the stories near, but I love the stories of him actually having to go on as a sub for Merthyr. Back in the day when he's gone up as a supporter on the bus, and back in the days when he didn't have five subs and things, and he's had to end up playing. And by his own admission, I think his words were, "I couldn't kick a tin." But I think over the years, we've signed a few with them anyway, to be truthful. So, yeah, I always enjoyed those stories of him having to play. But no, I just loved Merthyr. He'd done lots of different jobs at Merthyr and would always have such a passion to talk about it. And would do whatever he could to help you, even when he was ill, that nothing was too much. If he was involved with Merthyr, he'd always be prepared to help out. And yeah, it was yeah, sad time going back last year. And yeah, I think everybody still misses him tremendously.
And I mean, it's a fantastic gesture by the club as well, with naming the stand after him. I was lucky enough to come up on that day as well, to see the game as well against Hendon. That was a great day. But Jack, I mean, have you got any memories of? I'm sorry, I keep calling him the great man, but that's just me. So I mean, have you got any sort of memories you can talk to us about?
Yeah, so due to sort of like my family's involvement at the club, I've been at the club a lot longer than what people might think. But yeah, first of all, as a supporter, obviously you remember Anthony when I was a really young child, just around the club and doing his multiple roles and what have you. And then in more recent times, when I started doing the secondary stuff, he was a massive help to me, just with sort of getting things right, both on and off the pitch, on and off the pitch, sorry, and helping, the sort of the manager and the players and whoever was in charge. But I suppose like the most vivid memory, there's a great photo at the club of when we won the Tool Station League after we reformed, of him dressed as Henry VIII, as most of the players and the staff at the club referred to him as. But yeah, he could, like Craig touched upon, he probably done every role at the club, including playing for it one day as well. And he couldn't do enough to help anybody, whether you were just a first time visitor to Pennarum Park or, an elder person who's been here for years before himself as well. So no, just nothing but praise really for Anthony, and I owe a lot to him for all the help that he gave me when I joined the club in the secretary role as well.
Mate, I mean, did you have much with sort of contact with the great man?
Well, I signed for the club when I was 17, and Anthony done my forms that day. When Paul Segura was there. And he's just been the president at the football club. He was just one of those, as you know, Merthyr is very special and unique place, and they have these characters around the place that have been ever present since I walked through the door, and Anthony was one of them. Many of those characters are still there now, and it's quite a bit of a, it's quite, I suppose, a dim dark view of saying it. You just assume these people are going to be around forever. And then when they are taken, this it's sort of like it wins you a little bit. But you only had to attend his funeral and just seeing how many people respected and how well liked he was. And I often say, you can get caught up in this football bubble and being referred to, but I generally think he was one of the nicest blokes you'd ever meet in any walk of life. Whether that was him working at the council or being involved in a football club, he just had time for absolutely anybody. From a 16-year-old acne covered face. When I talked to him after we drew with Taunton in the FA Cup last year to take them to a replay, he spoke to me, and we typical Anthony, we put the world to rights for an hour and a half in the car park. He would just stand there. He loved his football. Always found it fascinating that he'd get into any game around the world, wherever he was with his poor missus, would just be he'd go shopping and he'd find himself in a Real Betis game, or he'd find himself in some game in another country that he was in. He was just a proper football bloke, but more importantly, he was just an incredible man and a lovely bloke, and someone, like I said, one of the nicest blokes you'd ever wish to meet, really.
Absolutely. Paul?
Yeah, obviously, I haven't known Anthony for as long, but I think that was one of the things about him is that you felt like you'd known him forever. In every conversation that you had, he made you feel, you see him smiling from across the room. He'd brighten every room. And I know that some people say that about lots of people, and it can be a cliche, but it was honestly the case with Anthony. He just made you feel like he'd known you for years. He would, have such a presence and such a happiness and a charm that he would fill the room with. And like Matt said, I remember the presentation evening, the one before, and I ended up sitting with him for about 2 hours talking about, bits and pieces to do with the Southern League and how we're at a disadvantage. And we spoke for absolutely ages, and he always helped, similarly probably to what Jack, in the situation that Jack found himself in as secretary. He was a real voice of guidance for me when I first came to the club and the position that Merthyr was in. But the biggest thing for me, I find him a massive inspiration, and in that the way that he faced the challenges of his illness over a number of years, he faced them for so long, and he never let it stop him from living a fantastic life, from doing the things that he wanted to do. And from continuing to face it, with real strength. And I text him, on a couple of occasions, and spoke to him and said, look, if I can face, my challenges that lie ahead with half the charisma and the charm that you do, then I'll be a very proud man, because he really was an inspiration in that way, and he always did, make you feel special in his company.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the funniest thing, really, to be honest with you, my wife's not a football person at all, even though I bore her to death with it probably for the last 14, 15 years. Just doesn't like it whatsoever. But we she came along to the very first time I was asked to compare the Southern League awards, and she came along. Not that she really wanted to, but she came along. I dragged her along, screaming and kicking. But she got there, and we went down to Warwickshire, and we'd finished doing all the presentations, and we were just getting off and going back to our room that evening. And as we've gone back through and gone through the bar, Anthony was out there with Sean and Debbie out in the bar area, and he called us over. And in his normal way, boyo, come over here, and he just went over and had a chat. But it was one of those things where it wasn't just the chat with me; they were getting my wife involved in the conversation and as well. And sort of an hour later, after she said she was absolutely shattered, we're still standing there at the bar having a chat with Debbie and with Debbie and Anthony, and it always sort of stuck in my mind. And you know, when we went back the following year, you know, and she knew Anthony was going to be there for the second one, and you know, there was not even a fact of even asking if she wanted to come. She wanted to come because she wanted to go back to see him and go back and see, you know, Debbie as well. So it just that type of person. You know, I only knew him for probably a couple of years after he came on the show as vice chairman, and we struck up such a strong relationship from there. And yeah, I miss him. Miss him. Oh, I can't even tell you how much I miss him. But yeah, I just thought, you know, today it was something that would be nice to have with Murph on today, just to say, you know, how much we miss him, and sending our love to, you know, the family, Sean, Vicky, Debbie, and the rest of the family as well, at this tough time this week. So, I mean, guys, I mean, this last season, you know, it sort of didn't finish how you wanted it to finish. But this season, you know, did you expect to be where you are now? Paul?
Yeah, we expected to. We thought we'd be a bit further ahead, to be honest. No, we obviously we just wanted to do better than we did last season, and that's it. We tried to keep the core of the players, and add one or two more, knowing therefore that we'd be a little bit better than last season. And to be fair, the way the players have performed this season has been beyond our expectations, and they continue to set fantastic standards. You know, just the last couple of months have been really, really busy for non-league footballers. With the festive period this year was absolutely bonkers. But the boys continue. We've had injury problems, as all teams have. But to have continued the way that we have through December and January so far has been, you know, magnificent. The players have been fantastic. So I didn't expect us to do as well as we have. And now we've presented ourselves with an opportunity that we really wanna continue and carry on to the end of the season.
I mean, Matt, I mean, with yourself, I mean, it's a great start so far. 26 played, 60 points, 9 clear of probably we were the favourites in AFC Tottenham before the season started. But they have got 3 games in hand, and but you got a good draw against them the other weekend, the other midweek.
Yeah. I mean, as a group, we showed glimpses last year that we could be a proper team, and it was this in consistency ultimately that let us down. We just have a mad patch, and then we'd go on a really poor patch. But it sort of all worked out well, and we've been very, very consistent this year. I think the additions Paul have brought in have been massive for us. Boys that were there have improved and kicked on again. And as a group, 90% of us now have played a lot of games together, and you can sort of see that. You know, a reflection of Tuesday at Tottenham. It's one of those ones. It's a good draw, but I think it's 2 points that not that we've dropped. That's harsh. But on another night, I think we get a win there, and the same against Dorchester, you know, on Saturday before. But you know, we can't be too critical. We've had an incredible start, and you know, I suppose it just goes to show. You know, we're 21 unbeaten now, I believe, and to only actually be 9 points clear. And if Tottenham win the games in hand, they actually come back. On the same pointers, that shows how well and what we're up against. But you know, we've got our noses in front. I'd rather have the points on the board currently and let teams try and win and max out all their points in the games in hand. And you know, there's still an awful long way to go, and we know that as a group, but we're excited about it. I still think we can kick on again. We've sort of got through this mental period of the last sort of 8 to 10 games. And if you actually look at our fixtures, we've probably played 7 of the top 8, 9 in the form guides and the tables in the last sort of 2 months. So it's been a tough run of fixtures, but we've come out the other side, and we're still in a very good position. Did I think we'd be here? Probably not. I'd be lying. But did I think we'd be at the right end of the table? Absolutely, because I know the ability in the squad. But it's about, you know, grabbing hold of it and getting on another run now, and genuinely believing. I don't think, like, I'm a Merthyr boy, unfortunately, like, and I know the club, but if our boys can realise they'll become heroes overnight and won't have to buy a pint ever in the town of Merthyr again. If this does come off at the end of the season, generally it'll be enormous. And with what we're up against with other clubs and budgets and things like that, I think it would be an absolutely incredible achievement, but something that I do believe that we can achieve. And now we've just got to keep doing what we're doing.
I mean, going down to Habert Waterlooville, and getting a 1-0 win there—that's an not an incredible result. It's a fantastic result.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And the boys that stepped out—we've just been—it's just one of those teams where we've got so many boys that can play in different positions, and that's probably down to Paul's recruiting, doing that right. And we had boys out of position playing where they don't normally play, or boys asked to do stuff they don't usually ask to do, and that sort of epitomises the group at the minute, that we're all in it together. Boys who haven't played much have had to play a lot, and boys have come in. We were missing key players, but the biggest difference this year is when they are, call it key boys missing, there's boys ready to step in, and the performance levels don't drop. It was a different type of win on the weekend. Like Paul said, we weren't at our footballing fluid best, but we were gutsy, and we were, the work rate was superb, and it took a Nye Livermore scoop cross top corner screamer from on his left foot to win it. And we rode our luck at times, but I think the output that we've done this year so far, I think we've deserved a little bit of luck on our side. And no, it was an incredible, incredible result. And yeah, sets us up now for, a bit of a respite Saturday to Saturday fixtures, which I'm sure are welcomed across the league. And let's just see if we can get on another run now and stay at the top of the league.
Jack, I mean, you expected to be busy as secretary. You expect to see Paul sort of knocking on your door saying, "I've got another one here to sign. Got another one here to sign."
No, in fairness, it's been pretty good so far. I haven't been too bad, and I like to think that Paul's been happy with what I've done as well. So, no, so far so good. And like Matthew and Paul have touched upon, I think it's not a slight of the boys who were with us last season who have left, but I think the additions this year have made a huge difference, and has added to, the quality that was already in the squad, and everybody's a year older, and it's another year together. So I think that's why we're seeing the results and the run that we're on. And thankfully, the town and the surrounding area are really getting behind it as well. So that only adds to it.
Are you just hoping that there's not one of these big clubs that's going to come in and meet the contract release for Matty and Reece at £10 million? And I mean, the release clause in
Well,
there.
I think Matty's had conversations about being kit man next year already, so I won't be expecting too many. No offense, Matt, but no, it's when you're doing well, obviously you get a lot of traction across social media and interest from other clubs. But I like to think the large majority of the players are really invested into it now. And like Matty has touched upon it, I don't think players realise until they actually come here and play for Merthyr that you do almost get a bug, and there's a re you're not players have never been here for the money. It's always been more than that. So that's the nice thing to see from an outsider as a fan as well, I suppose.
I mean, with it though, Craig, I mean, from yourself, I mean, I know how frustrated you were last year not getting it, but this year round, I mean, everything seems to be going quite well at the minute.
Yeah, it does. It's a process, and I can go back to when Paul and the assistant Smudge first came in, and conversation we had as a group with Paul, and he said about the sides who've done well in Progressive League, and the sides have been together for a couple of years. And so, he said at the time it might take 2 or 3 years. The more time we spend together, the better we get, the more we get to know each other. And that's proved to be true. And it was disappointing last year that final day missing out by a point. But it's not something we talk about regularly, and want to put that right, but I think the players know that we are better than that this season. And as we said, the good thing is these boys are not there for the money, which is fortunate because we haven't got loads of it anyway. But they are there for the love of the football club, and there's a project, there's something going on there. And the ages of our side, other than Matthew's 62 now, but the ages of our side, they're a young squad who are all developing and improving all the time. So yeah, I still think there's plenty more to come from this group. It's going to be tough end of season because The truth is there's no easy games in this league, and certainly at this stage of the season when there's a lot of teams fighting and jockeying for different positions within the league. But yeah, if we keep doing what we're doing and keep playing our football, and I'm also going back to the Havant game, I think we showed a side to us there that people probably haven't given us credit for throughout the season, that we can, when we need to, dig in and be tough to beat and hard to break down, and boys put their bodies on the line. I think we've got enough players who can do that as well. So I think that's something that has developed, and we are better at them, probably better equipped to deal with us now as well now.
And pull off to Somerset. You've got a Somerset team coming up to you at the weekend in Taunton.
Yeah, a tough game. I think before the weekend they were like top of the form table. So, and they're, if you look at football web pages, there's like a predicted table for the end of the season. They're predicted to finish seventh. So, like Matty said, the top six presently, we've played everybody twice except one trip to Tottenham. So we've played 9 or 10 games there, and then Taunton are the next team, really. So we'll have done them as well by the end of January. We'll have played them home and away, so we know it's going to be a difficult game. They're in really good form. I think they're unbeaten in seven. They've brought in some good players as the season's progressed. They seem to have just got stronger and stronger. So that's going to be another tough game. But like Matty said, I think the message now is to keep doing what we're doing. We've got to look at a few of the details. Craig mentioned us touching, having another side to us, and then the last three games we've only conceded from one corner against Tottenham, which has been a big step up really on what we were doing for the little bit of time before. But we don't want to be relying on, they had two good chances on the weekend at least where we rode our luck a little bit. And for me, we don't want to be relying on that now. We don't want to be this gutsy team that hangs on. Things will change around very quickly. So we've got to maintain that resilience and that defensive structure that we've had in the last couple, and get back to scoring goals, creating chances, and running games. Having said that, we've played some very good teams in the last week or so. So we'll look on Tuesday and Thursday now, trying to improve again, ready for Saturday. And like Mike said, I'm excited. We believe we can do it. We believe we can keep our form going. But we know Tottenham are going to be there at the end, and if we're not consistent enough, then they will overtake us. They've shown that already this season.
What's the furthest away trip you've got left to go to now? I mean, is it places like Marlow or Hanwell?
Jacko, you'll be the best one to answer that, son. Still got to go Marlow,
Yeah,
haven't we?
I think it's Marlow and Hanwell that you said there, David. I think they are two furthest remaining away trips off the top of my head. Possibly down to sort of like the Shoreline and Taunton area, but we have a lot of trips within the sort of same mileage or time spent on travelling. But probably Marlow and Hanwell, yeah.
Well, we were talking before you came on. Well, I was talking about before you came on about your coverage. I get to see as well, and I mean, he's absolutely top class.
Oh, with like the highlights and
Yeah.
stuff like that. So, yeah. So yeah, we're lucky we use like the VO footage, and yeah, takes a bit of time on a Sunday morning sometimes when I got a bit of a sore head, but some are better than others. But yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that.
In all fairness, I think what you should do is actually, I might even suggest it, but before you're no longer a Southern League club, I'll have to suggest it to Jason Mills so you can teach people how to put the scores in the corner and how to put the goal scorers on, because it'll make my life so much easier.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, no. In fairness, there's a lot of other clubs in the league that have started to do it really well as well now, and teams like Walton and stuff like that. So, and also it provides another way of sort of showing off non-league to supporters who football supporters who may not have been as interested in it previously. So, no, it's a good thing, and obviously with the goal show that you put together as well, it allows people to get a bit more knowledge about the league and the teams that we face.
I think Wimborne's the other one in your league that are very good at it as well.
Yeah,
I think they have
they
somebody from
can.
the outside that does it for them. But Paul, how do you feel about as the manager and Craig as coach and stuff? I mean, how do you feel about those highlights going out? Because I get two or three clubs say, "Oh, look, we don't want to send it in to you because people can see how we play and we can do this and they can do that," but then put out a full set of highlights. So how do you feel about it yourself? Do you more than happy to see your side on YouTube or whatever else, if it's on your own channel or somebody else's?
Yeah, we only put out limited highlights, to be fair. We put the chances. Most teams are sharing footage in the league these days. Some clubs are even sending on footage you send them. I know that's happening with a few different clubs in the league. And everybody's doing their homework these days. So look, it's part of modern football that I think we'd all rather have access to that and have the challenge of trying to outwit one another than not see it at all, I guess. And it raises the profile of the club. So, it raises when somebody scores a fantastic goal, I want the players to be able to get that adulation and to get the credit that they deserve from wider audiences. So from my perspective, I would always want to celebrate what we're doing and put highlights out. And we need to be consistent with that. We put them out whether we win, lose or draw. And we put oppositions I know haven't have just done the first highlights package in about a year after our game because they feel that they had ch they wanted to sh they wanted to get a certain message out that they had chances and they played well and that they should have won the game. And we're not trying to put out any certain we're not trying to portray a certain rhetoric when we put ours out. It's just there, we're consistent, and we like to do things we try and do things properly as a football club.
I mean, are you looking into? I mean, I suppose it's a silly question to ask because every manager would tell me, oh, I'm always looking. But are you still looking to sort of add numbers or to maybe bring in a few more players to strengthen the squad, especially after losing such an important player for you in Lewis in the last few days?
Yeah, Lewis did really well for us. Everybody at the club wishes him the best in his next step. There's obviously Lewis was fantastic in terms of his goals and chance creation for us. And there are other areas of the game that he's still a young player and he's still developing. So, we've got different types of players that can play the role that he was playing. And they may, although they may not give us quite the same in terms of maybe running past people or that final the percentage, that final product at the moment. We've got other players that are working towards that, who we believe in. And we've got players that we think can add to our performance as a team, and that's no disservice to Lewis, can add to us in different ways because everybody's different. We've also, we have brought in one or two. We're expecting Jay Williams to be back this week with us. So, we're don't think Jack Evans is going to be out long term. So from the squad we had in the weekend, we're looking at being stronger again next Saturday. So if there's someone that's the right quality, it's my job, looking into the back end of the season now to ensure that we have the right quality. We can't leave us with any risk that we might be liked in one area or not. So I do have to keep an eye out for the right players at the right time. But generally, I'm really, really proud and pleased of with the effort that the boys have put in so far, and I believe in them. So I'm in no rush to go and find somebody. I think we've got the players within the squad to fill the void left by Lewis, if I'm honest.
I mean, you said about attendances earlier on about how the attendances are doing fantastic, home attendances and that. I'm just looking at again on football web pages the attendances, and it's quite interesting to see how it's grown. Other than a couple of weeks, it's gone Cribbs 523, Sheolin 817, Gosport Barnet 839, Winchester 767, and then from then on in it goes Wimborne 853, Marlow 904. Frome 903, Havant 1005, Walton 1679, Gloucester 1714, Dorchester dropped a little bit, and then back to Tottenham again, which went up again. So like almost every single week through the season for your home games, you're getting more and more and more through the gate, which just proves that it's success, as the old saying goes, isn't it? You build it and they will come.
Jack, what do you reckon, mate?
No, in fairness, I think it's more so since Paul and Smudge and Craig and the players came to the club that the attendances have kept growing year on year, and there's a lot of people at the club now on match days that are maybe new to the area or from the surrounding areas and are new to watching Merthyr instead of watching football league clubs and what have you. And I think as a club, one thing that we are proud as a sort of the staff at the club is that there's there's a real good match day experience there now. So you can come to the ground, you can speak with your mates, you can have a pint in the bars, you can walk around the ground, speak with some visiting fans when there's some at the ground as well. And generally people leave at 5 out of 5, happy with what they've seen on the pitch as well. Obviously when you win in, but only that, the brand of football that we play at the moment is quite attractive to watch as well if you're a neutral football fan. So no, it's just kept building. And obviously the Taunton game last week, midweek, was our highest of the season so far. And providing we stay on this sort of run and stay in a similar position, we'll probably better that again before the end of the season, I'd imagine.
I mean, the stadium itself, I mean, it's one of those stadiums that is really sort of like, I think it's one of the best stadiums there is in the Southern League, because you've got a bit of everything there. I mean, you've got the oldie worldie, you've got the brand new in that ground. You've even got a Remembrance Garden in there as well. And it's a fantastic little ground if anybody hasn't been to it. I mean, what's it like to play there, Matt?
Thanks for playing. I mean, I'm biased, it's the best in the league by a mile, and they probably rival those in the league above as well. It's like just touching on the attendances. Merv is one of them that if we do well, for some reason, you could be anyone within a 40-mile radius of Merv. There's always that people just checking on Merv's results get on, even when we were struggling and two or three leagues below. There's always been that. You know somebody who's affiliated, or you know somebody who's a friend, who's a fan. There's always that interest at the club. I do think the product on the pitch is excellent for our standards. You're getting good value for money, and like Jack said, I think the match day experience at the ground is fantastic for anyone. Even if you don't really like football, you can come up and enjoy your afternoon up there with mates, and it's a very special place. Very special place to play football. I've been fortunate to do it a lot, and it seems to get better as I get older, really. Maybe I'm appreciating it more. You take it for granted when you're younger, don't you? But yeah, no, it's a brilliant ground. You know, even boys that have played at good levels, away players, they're seen taking photos of the ground when they turn up, and away fans come. And you know, people, when you're at the top, you were there to be shot at, but it's quite refreshing to see this year away fans and away players and staff really complimentary of not only the team but the club itself and the match, the experience, and away fans really get excited to come to Pendant Park and watch the team play, because it's a brilliant afternoon and a brilliant occasion, like, you know.
Now, what was the, with the end of last season, of course, you know, missing out on the playoffs there by a point last season. I mean, what, and then coming into this season, what was the dressing room like on that day? And then also, how have you guys all managed to bond together to actually get to where you are now? Because it must have been a big downer. So, I mean, what was, as club captain as well, how did that sort of, how have you, everybody managed to pull together? I mean, what was it like?
I think we all sort of knew we're quite an honest group, and I think we all knew deep down that it wasn't the running that let us down. There was large parts over the winter period and large chunks where we simply weren't winning for, and it cost us in the end. You know, even though we were always in the playoffs all season, it ultimately bit ourselves in the backside, really. And you know, on reflection, that isn't good enough if we want to be where we wanted to be. We were quite honest about that, but we also knew that we had bags of ability in the dressing room. As Craig touched on, I'm 73 this year, and the rest of the boys are 19 and 20. And look, it's a massive learning curve for them, and sometimes you learn more on a downer and a defeat than you ever do in winning things. And you know, as hard as it was to miss out that last game in the season, you know, a lot of those boys came back hungrier, and they're better this year, and they've learnt the league and they've learnt the level. They learn what they need to be doing a bit more, and I think this year showcased that really. And you know, as well as bringing in players to the group, yeah, it was obviously a disappointing end. And obviously the boys on the call now were all part of the group last year, and we were all quite honest. And there was perhaps pieces missing potentially, and we fell short for obvious reasons. We weren't good enough last year. I'm quite honest. And if you fall short, you weren't good enough. If you play 40 odd games and you miss it, then you don't deserve to be in there. So, you know, we were quite honest about that. And it was about just coming back, resetting, and improving. And that's what we've done. So, We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're quite a humble group. And like I said, it's all very cliche, but it is just about the next game. And if we can get 3 points on the next game, it puts pressure on everyone else around us. And that's all we're focusing on doing. I think Paul's got us in twice this week. So the boys will be coming in. We've got some bodies back. But yeah, it was disappointing to end last week, but I think we ended up getting what we deserved ultimately. But we did show flashes last year of what we could be. And that's obviously what we're showing this year. So long may that continue.
But then at 73, how do you enjoy playing on that 3G surface?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, fortunately for me, I'm in a team and playing, probably smoke up all year, but I play in a team that sort of suits the way that I like to play, and it protects me slightly because we actually pass the ball around, and it's a lot more enjoyable to play than just going and hoof ball in and elbow in and kick in for 90 minutes. You get a buzz out being on there with boys that can really pass the ball around, and I play at the back, and a lot of it starts with us because we play out from the back, and I feel like I contribute quite well to the group. I feel like, I don't know, my personality is quite good with the group in terms of how chilled out and calm that I am. The body does take a battering. I don't think the schedule helps me at all at times throughout the season, but I'm quite, me and Paul have already had about 25 conversations this year on how I feel match to match, and I'm quite stubborn that I hurt, and as long as I can move, I tend to just go again until the wheels come off. And unfortunately, last Tuesday, the one wheel came off, so I'm waiting to see how bad that repair needs to be. But yeah, no, it does take your body does take a battering, but I think that's down to me being 73. The youngsters just turn up and play, and it's like they don't phase the end in it. So, but no, I enjoy it. I'm always fearful. I've had an open conversation with Paul about it. I get to my age, and I'm always fearful that it could be my last game, or I get exploited and exposed. And fortunately for me, I've got excellent players around me, and we're set up well, and I'm still contributing. So as long as that continues to happen, mate, then I'll keep playing and contributing as much as I can.
But Paul, I mean, you were saying earlier on about trying to keep the squad together, and Craig was saying the same, like from last year to this season. How much more difficult was that then on that day when you're thinking to yourself, we just missed out by a point? Was it more difficult to sort of like get the boys back together again, to get them back as a team for this year and not lose any? Or do you think that made it a little bit easier because they were more determined to as a group, to actually go one step further?
No, I think Matty touched on it there. First of all, Matty's been really humble, and he's been more than contributing for us. He's been absolutely fantastic. And in those conversations, I've learned to just listen until the end of the conversation, when he says, I can, if I have to go, I'll go. And then I say, all right, go. And that's generally the way I try and leave that one, because he's been such an important part of the way we play. His calmness and his demeanour around the group is important for us, and his ability on the pitch is absolutely top draw. So he's been brilliant. And I agree with what he said regarding last season, really. We didn't, we won on the last day, 7-1. The disappointment wasn't there. The disappointment was, the run of games in the back half of the season. And Matty's right, we weren't good enough. We weren't ready last season. And had we finished one place higher, we'd have had, one or two more games. Only one team goes up from those playoffs. So ultimately, 75% of the teams in there end up doing the same thing we've done this season, which is go back into the same league. So, we just had to accept that we weren't good enough and reflect on it and see where we needed to improve. Try and improve with our recruitment and with keeping the same players that we knew were going to get better. We've done that. The players have done that. They've got better themselves, and that then contributes to the collective doing better this season. So, Craig did touch on it when we came in. We said, look, then at the start of this season, we said the history of the league shows teams that have been together 3 seasons, or seem to grow into it. You had Taunton had been together for a few years, Weston had been together a few years, Chesham had been together, and they almost all finished around that fifth place the season before they won it. So it's just a case of staying calm. Recruitment's never easy in non-league football. The summers are horrendous. So once you get back into pre-season, you get back into the season, that's when the good bit starts, really. The summer, you're always waiting, someone's going to be contacted by someone else and by here, there, and players might keep options open, but generally we've got a fantastic group of boys that wanted to commit and made my life manageable, to say, to you know, manageable probably as best as going to get over a summer as a non-league manager.
Craig, I mean, what are these guys like to coach?
Oh, we're very fortunate. We've got, there's quite a few of these players. Most of them have come through clubs where they have been coached as, they've had good coaching as youngsters, and they're keen to learn. And, some of the new players who come in, I mean, Cole Jarvis, for example. Cole was a youth player with us years ago. He's gone away. He's played in the Welsh leagues. And Cole is one who's, he's always asking questions. He wants to get better. He wants to improve. So I think that, they're a great group to work with. And yeah, because I think they've had that grounding where they've grown up and they're used to being coached, it's not a difficult job to get the points across to them, and to work with them, to be fair.
I mean, question, Jack. I don't know if you've looked yourself. Have you seen any sort of betting on the league as we stand?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I've just pulled
First,
up.
I was going to say, first of all, I'm not allowed, and second of all, I'm too tight to bet. So,
I'm not saying you. No, listen. I'm not saying anybody's got bet. I'm just curious about it because it says just to see what it was. I mean, they got it down here, and it'd just be interesting to see what you guys think of favourites wise for the league. But Walton and Hersham 100-1, Havant and Waterlooville 50-1, Dorchester 40-1, Gloucester City 20-1, and then there's a huge jump to AFC Totten 7-4, and Merthyr Town 2-1 on. Bookies are never
yeah.
wrong, they say, didn't
Well,
they?
I hope they're right. I
thought we, 3 months ago we were 33-1, weren't we? Was that the
Start
no,
of the
it's
season, we were way out, weren't we? We were way.
yeah, I think those odds are like they're there. It is the puppies, right? They know what they're doing. I mean, are we the favourites? I think we gotta be, we're in front. If we win all our games, we win the league. It's as simple as that. So it's in our hands. I mean, we have to back ourselves, surely. If we're not going to back ourselves, nobody else will. Do I think we're going to win every game? No. It'd be great if we did, because we'd win it rather than going to the last week of the season. But look, I think as captain, it's exciting, and it's going to be exciting. We seem to win, Tottenham seems to win, we seem to draw, they seem to draw. We just seem to be mirror each other in at the minute. We chalk one off in the week against each other, but I mean, ultimately as a player, it's just exciting to be a part of, the dance at the top of the table, rather than sometimes you can be on a beach in February or March, because you're not competing for anything. So I think if you're involved in football in any capacity as a player or staff or fan, you want to be a part of this type of, this sort of situation. And if the bookies have got us as that, that's their opinion. Do I back myself as a group? We have to. But yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we've had a free hit this year. We shouldn't be where we are, but we believe we belong where we are currently. So, like I said, it's about steadying the ship, staying humble and calm, and just kicking on and getting on another run, and hopefully, other teams around us drop away and they can't keep up with us. That's up to us to attack every Saturday now. And if we can win every game, then obviously we're going to win the league if we win every single game from here on out. But it's in our hands. But I think there'll be twists and turns along the way. But at least it's an exciting position to be in, and one that I'm sure Tottenham are excited about. But also, if us and Tottenham have a bad weekend and they win, they're right back in the mix. Do you know what I mean? So I do think there's twists and turns to come. But like I said, if you start the season and someone says you're going to be in a title race coming out of January, I think everybody'd be excited by that. And that's why we're all involved in football. If you're not excited by that, then I think you're in the wrong game,
Well, they play one of the, you probably all know this, but they play their first of the three games in hand tomorrow night. But they're playing against the most informed team in your league tomorrow night. So it's Tottenham at home to Froome tomorrow. What do we
Yeah,
think?
we just got to assume that they're going to win every game. And they've shown this year that they can. So, we're hoping to rely on other teams to help us out. Of course, we are. Everyone does. But like I said, it's in our hands, and we have to take care of our business. They could lose all three games in hand, and we could win, lose our next three games in hand. It's down to us ultimately, and we have to make sure that we look after ourselves. And if others around us slip away, brilliant. If they don't, then we just have to simply keep sorting ourselves out and winning every week, and that's all we can do at the minute until we go and pay them a visit in March, which on paper is going to be enormous. But it might be null and void if we don't keep winning games until that game. We have to keep winning our football matches, and what will be will be.
Jack, I mean, what's it like being, I'm guessing, probably one of the youngest secretaries at the Step Three?
Yeah, no, it's quite exciting. So I was a supporter beforehand. So when the chance came up, it was something I was interested in. And to be honest, you're seeing it more and more now. The Cameron at Dorchester, I think he's similar age to myself, and it's just nice because it's nice to be a part of sort of the group, but then also it's nice to be sort of knowing that you've played a little part, whether that's helping out on a match day, volunteering by doing something else, or just being sort of a point of contact to help people and welcome them into the club. So no, I really enjoy it, and I get on with everyone well in the league, and I hope they'd say the same with myself. So no, I really enjoy it, and it's good to be part of.
No, absolutely. Well, listen, guys, time's run away from us, and I really do appreciate all of you coming on. I really do coming on this show tonight. It's fantastic. So, a massive thank you to Craig, to Jack, to Matty, and to Paul as well. Next week, hopefully, we've got the ex-Phoenix sports manager will come and join us next weekend and next week. And of course, also as well, we've got the semi-final draw for the Essex Senior League's Pete Butcher Cup, and we'll be live on the show next week as well. But from me and from the lads from Murphy, thank you very much for watching and good night.